I want you to get your Bible this evening and turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter number 34. And once you arrive at that chapter, find verse number 9. Deuteronomy 34, 9. I want you to settle yourselves. Let's not be doing a bunch of talking, but it's listening time. Deuteronomy chapter 34. I want you to find verse number 9. Now, if you would stand with me, please. Deuteronomy chapter 34, starting with verse number 9. And I'm going to read to all of us all the way through the end of the chapter. And the Bible says this, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hand upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel." I want to pray for us. The sermon's title is this, "The Qualities of Leadership." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight with thy presence. Lord, my personality is not enough. Our perception without thy Holy Spirit is anemic at best, weak. And I pray, God, that somehow you will control my voice. You will control our ears. And may we hear from heaven. May we hear something that is supernatural. May we be better because we came to church, and not for just a moment, but help someone's life to be transformed. Help their thinking to be empowered. May they learn a truth or a concept or a principle that they will carry with them until they get to heaven. Bless us now. Bless our church because of what's done in this place this night. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you will. Listen, don't talk now. There's way too much talking. I want you to listen and be very, very quiet. Let me say to you this morning, I mentioned about this evening's sermon just a little and made a comment when I was referring to the sermon title. I want to make a comment again tonight. Here's what I think. I think our church has become very, we've been strong, we remain strong, we are growing in a variety of ways. But I will tell you this, we will not grow to the next level unless some people, they've got to start doing some growing themselves. You always have to have enough leadership in a church to fill the positions, if you will, of leadership. And I am not for position seekers. You will never impress me by being a position seeker. To me, leadership is a quality. It is not just a position. Now, it is a position. But may I say to you, there's some people out there, I really want you to grow. I really want you to step up in your Christian life. I believe that we are on the threshold of our church going to another level. You say, well, we've been climbing those levels pretty quickly here. Well, I don't think God wants a church to be dead. I don't think God wants a church to be stagnant. I think God wants a church to go forward. You say, well, what's your numerical goal? I have no numerical goal. You say, well, what's your goal? I'm going to reach everybody I can. That's all. I don't like, I'm not real big with numerical goals because they usually hold you back. I like to set a, you know, if you set a numerical goal, okay, you know, y'all remember at last spring program, we set a numerical goal of having more in Sunday school than we'd ever had before and set a goal of, you know, having 300 people in church. I'm glad we didn't reach our goal. We doubled our goal. Goals hold people back that really want to make something big happen. Now, I'm a goal setter, but my goal is I just want to reach everybody and help as many people as I can. But I will tell you this. I think God is for churches going forward. I think God likes a church that's on the move. God doesn't want a church to be stagnant. Therefore, God does not want his people to be stagnant. We're going to look at something about leadership tonight, and I honestly believe the people that we need need to go to the next level set under the sound of my voice tonight. Some of you are a little bit backslidden and you need to get yourself straightened out. You need to decide not to just be a spectator, but to become a participator. Some of you need to sacrifice your little petty sins so you could step up and become a leader and you could begin to help. Now, again, I don't think you ought to strive for, so I just want attention. I don't lead for attention. I lead because somebody's got to step up and help people to better themselves and grow. But at the same time, there's some in here, I really think, I would love for you to catch it and understand some things about leadership. In the passage of Scripture that we just read in Deuteronomy, the great leader Moses had been used by God to guide the children of Israel for many, many years. And wow, what some amazing occurrences took place with the children of Israel while they were being led by this man by the name of Moses. He led them out of Pharaoh's captivity, and what a story. The story's been told over and over again. He led them through the plagues while in Egypt. There was all the water had turned to blood, and Moses led them through that mess, and all the fish in their rivers had all died, and he led them through that mess, and frogs had covered the land, and you're talking about just an amazing time in the land, and Moses was there to steady the people and lead the people and love them and help them. At one point, can you imagine? He was a leader at a time when lice covered the entire land, where everything you touched, it had lice on it. Now, you may lead in some awkward positions in life, but have you ever led in a lice-infested world? And Moses led through all of that. He led them through the parting of the Red Sea, and again, just a supernatural event. He led them in their wilderness journeys. He led them as they got water out of a rock and manna from off the ground and quail flying out of the sky and they could grab and have meat. Just God had led this man named Moses. What a powerful man. To me, Moses, other than Jesus, in my opinion, was probably the greatest leader in the Bible. He led over 3 million people for 40 plus years in the worst imaginable condition. And I'm talking about through a wilderness. That's a rough condition. Also, the people could be pretty stubborn and, if I may, stupid in their behavior. And Moses led them through all those times. Now, when you get to Deuteronomy chapter 34, it's time for Moses to die. I don't know why, but it was time for Moses to pass off the scene. In verse number 5, it says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord." So here you've got this powerhouse of a leader, and God said, "Okay, it's time to transfer you to heaven." The Bible actually tells us in verse number 6, it tells us that God did the burying. Listen, if you will, I'm going to read to you. In verse number 6, it says, let me read verse number 5 to you. It says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor." You say, well, what's taking place here? Moses is dying, and he dies, and the Bible says he buried him. The he there is God. Moses had a funeral, and God is the one that attended it. Nobody else attended the funeral. In verse number 7, it says, "And Moses was 120 years old when he died. And it says his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated." You say, well, what's going on? What's all that telling us? I do not think that Moses was a sickly old man at 120 years of age. It said his eyesight was still strong. His natural force means he was still strong in body. You say, well, why in the world did he die? Because the Bible says God wanted to transfer him to heaven. And the Bible says, according to the word of the Lord, it was time for Moses to die. And so he did. Oh, my. I noticed this as I was preparing for tonight's sermon. Listen to what it says. These people that Moses had led, wow, what a privilege to be under the leadership of Moses. You know all the stuff that they went through, and Moses was there and led them. And the Bible says in verse number 8, about his death, it says, "And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. You understand, they didn't move an inch. They didn't travel anywhere. They went into mourning, and it said the people were so brokenhearted, they wept for 30 solid days mourning the loss of Moses. Well, I got to thinking about it, and of course the Bible then suddenly begins to unfold about, well, what next? You know, you lose a leader like a Moses, what next? Well, wow, what is the next leader to come on the scene? Who would step up and fill the shoes of Moses? And then the Bible tells us there in verse number 9, it says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses." Moses was this powerhouse leader and had led in the Old Testament like no leader ever, and had gone through some of the most outrageous situations. And then one day God said, "You know, Moses, you're healthy, your sight is strong, your body is strong, but I'm bringing you to heaven." And God transferred him. God had a private funeral for Moses, took him on to heaven, and everyone wept and mourned. And in that process, they all asked themselves, "Who in the world is going to lead us now?" And the Bible says that God had prepared a man. His name was Joshua. It also describes the qualities of this young man named Joshua. It is Joshua who God would choose to step up into a leadership position when he was needed. And whatever it is that qualified Joshua to step up into that leadership realm, I think it's the same thing that God would look for you and I. Now, I'm not a Moses, and I'm nothing like a Moses. I've got a long way to go before I can even be Charlie Brown. But I can tell you this. Now, I don't predict my death or anything like that, but I will say this. I think I could last in the ministry another 20 years, with the exception of one or two of you that will knock me off a little early. I think I could last another 20 years. But I'll tell you this, a leader does not have to pass off the scene for there to be need of leadership. There are many levels of leadership that are necessary in the church. I'm obligated by, according to Scripture, I have to lead the New Testament church. I have to do that. That's what's expected of me. The New Testament church is pastoral led. It's not deacon board led, and our deacons don't give me any problem. They understand it. It's not led by some committee. The New Testament church is pastoral led, and he is to submit to God, and he leads. But wait a minute. The smart pastor, boy, he surrounds himself with good people, and he gets the leadership around him because he can't do it himself. And the truth of the matter is, I can't do it myself. I need leadership in the church. Well, whatever it was that God seen in this young man named Joshua and the qualities that were in Joshua, I would say if Joshua had these particular qualities and God let Joshua step into the shoes of Moses, what a big deal. That's a big deal. I would like to know what those qualities are. If God were looking for someone to use them, if I could figure out what those qualities are, hey, maybe I could develop the qualities of leadership that impress God enough with Joshua that Joshua got to step into the leadership role that Moses had. So, with the growth of our church, I honestly believe this. Unless some people step up, we won't go forward a whole lot, because you have to have leadership at every level of growth. And if it took 10 good solid leaders to get to where we are, we're going to need 15 good solid leaders to get to the next level. And that's just a part of that's the way God does it. That's the way God would have it to be. Now, I'm not going to say anything, super amazing to you, but if you'll listen to me, I want to share with you the qualities of leadership that God was looking for in Joshua to allow him to step up and become one of the prominent leaders after Moses is transferred to heaven. Number one, the Bible tells us that Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. Deuteronomy 34:9, and I have an A in my outline with it. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom." Folks, there are people in this room, you desperately need to get that wisdom that is discussed right there. And notice, and let me help some of you that are already leaders. It said that Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. I think I have some leaders now that have wisdom, but you're not full of wisdom. You're full of something, but it's not wisdom. No, I've got some leaders that are good leaders and they're growing in the Lord. But leader, you ought to desire to be full of wisdom. When I say full, there's a difference in being half. There's a difference in being a third. There's a difference in three quarters. I'm talking about full. You say, well, preacher, what do you think it means full? I believe that Joshua knew wisdom was necessary for all the decisions. What happens to some leaders is they go to make decisions and 5 out of 10 decisions, they really want to do it the right way in God's way, but the other 5 decisions, they kind of leave to their flesh to help them decide. And those 5 decisions are the ones where you dropped the ball. That's where you didn't think before you moved. That's where you made a movement without letting the Scripture guide you. And God, I think, God looked down at Joshua and said, that Joshua right there, he's not a 5 out of 10 guy. He's going for 10 out of 10. He wants every one of his decisions to be wise decisions, full of wisdom. I really believe this. I think there are people in our church that you are smarter than you choose to behave. You have been trained, but you will not use your training. You're actually a lazy mental Christian. You just let things happen. Now let me tell you something. Don't just let life happen to you. You know, I want to happen to life. I don't want life to control me. I am to control my life through the power of God and through the Word of God and God's guidance. I think that Joshua's life was full of wise decisions. Folks, you got to stop and think before you do what you do. That's how you get wisdom involved. So you stop and think before you do what you do. You stop and think before you say what you say. Stop and think before you make those decisions that you make. The spirit of wisdom. You say, well, what is that? Well, I'm sure it has something to do with the Holy Spirit. But and maybe the Spirit here, there is the Holy Spirit that has something to do with the spirit of wisdom, but there's also our spirit. Remember, in the Bible, where there's a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. Where there's a small S, that's another spirit. Our spirit, that's our attitude. I happen to believe that Joshua wanted to make wise decisions, and Joshua had a good attitude about making wise decisions. Ask yourself this question. What's your attitude about your decisions? Are your decisions stingy? Are your decisions rebellious? Are your decisions, are they bad? Are they arrogant? Are they proud? Listen, Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. And you say, what is wisdom? You've heard me give this definition before. It's worth giving again. I think wisdom is the ability to see life through the eyes of God. I think someone that is practicing wisdom is trying to see it God's way. We make the mistake. You say, well, let me tell you how I see it, preacher. I don't want to be rude, but really doesn't matter how you see it. You say, what matters? How God sees it. Parents, you want to make right decisions? Everything you do, do it God's way. Make your decisions for your children based not on what you want to get out of it, but what would God have you do? That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to see life through the eyes of God. You all do realize that if we had wisdom, as we made decisions around the church, we would run the church the way God would see the church needing to be run. You say, but hey, and listen, I'm all for colleging and Bible college, and I've got a whole bunch of degrees, and I've been the president of a couple different colleges. I don't care what your college told you. I care what the Bible says. And we're to have wisdom, and wisdom is the ability to see life through the eyes of God. And I think most people that got some Bible colleging, that you got trained in a way that is biblically based. But I'll tell you something, if your college and the Bible disagrees, the Bible's right and your college is wrong, and we're to lead with wisdom. He was full of good decisions. He was full of good attitude. And Joshua seen things from God's perspective. So, why in the world did God allow Joshua to step up in leadership like he did? And my first thought is that Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. He was full of good, wise decisions. And he was full of good attitude. And he was seeing things through the eyes of God. And so God said, "Moses, my servant, is dead." And everybody said, "Oh my, who in the world could step up?" And God said, "Joshua can. Joshua can." Secondly, Joshua was leader trained, and I think Joshua was leader trusted. Joshua had been trained by the leader, and the leader trusted Joshua. Listen to Deuteronomy 34:9. I call it part B. It says, "For Moses had laid his hand upon him." Say, what is that? When Moses laid his hand upon Joshua, it was a picture of Moses blessing Joshua. It was a sign of the fact that Moses recognized that Joshua was doing right, and that touch was a picture of Moses putting his stamp of approval on Joshua. You say, why? Because Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. He had a great attitude. He made wise decisions. He was thinking right. He was seeing things from God's perspective. I wonder how many times I've walked up to one of the young men in the congregation, and we'll just be walking down the hallway. I'll walk over and I'll put my arm around someone like a Jack Edwards or a Caleb, and we'll just walk, and I'll say, "You know, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you." You know, you say, "What is that?" That is an older leader, if you will, saying to a younger leader, "The decisions and the things that you're doing are good decisions, and I want you to know, I approve of that spirit of wisdom that's upon you." This is a picture of Moses' personal belief in Joshua. You know, some of the leaders in our church, you do understand that when the pastor gives you an opportunity to lead, he is expressing belief in your behavior. That it's a vote of confidence to say, "Well, I'm a member of the church and I have the right to lead." You'll find something out real quick with me. That don't fly with me. Just being a member of the church doesn't give you the right to lead. But I'll tell you, when I do let people lead, if you will, that is a stamp of approval. That is someone saying, "Look, you're behaving yourself. You're handling yourself well." Moses had personally trained this young Joshua. Joshua would then lead the way Moses had taught him. I don't think Joshua was out to try to do his own thing. Joshua was out to follow the training that he had received from the older, wiser Moses. Joshua had submitted himself to the leader and allowed the leader to train him. Now, I'll tell you this, and you might think that this be a little strong or a little dictatorial, if you will. But, you know, when I recruit people to lead in our church, now you might have a little bit different personality, and you won't do everything 100% the way I would, but I will not recruit you to lead in our church so you can run off and go do your own thing and do it any way you want. You will have to lead the way you're expected to lead. You say, "Well, you're not the boss of me." You're right. I'm your pastor, and I'm not the boss of you, and I don't ever have to give you a position of leadership. You give me the impression that if I give you a position somewhere and you're going to run off and do your own thing, I'll never give you a position. Nah, 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 nah. You know, I give answer to God for what happens in the New Testament church. And I think we, you know, we all have different personalities, and there'll be a little difference. But let me explain something to you, folks. This thing of leadership, it's taught in the Bible. There's a right and a wrong way to lead people. And here's what happened. I believe that God looked down and said, Joshua, I'm going to let you lead as Moses has gone, because you make good decisions. They're wise decisions, and you have a good attitude about those decisions, and you're trying to do things. You're seeing things with God's wisdom. Then he said, you had been trained, and you're following the training that you had received from Moses, your leader. And this thing of where it says, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. Now, I don't think there's any words in the Bible that are there by mistake. What we're finding out is, why did God let Joshua step up and take a leadership role? And in the midst of that explanation, it says, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And what that means is, the leader that had succeeded, that he had helped to train some people so that they could step up and they could help lead. Did you know this? Did you know that a smart leader will not promote someone into leadership if they don't trust them? Why should they? Why should they? That's dumb. A leader must believe you will lead as trained. Smart leaders promote trustworthy followers to become the leaders. So you say, Pastor, does it, that because I don't have a leadership role right now, does that mean that you don't trust me? No, that doesn't necessarily mean that. Not all positions are filled. No, it's not that someone has analyzed you and said you're not trustworthy. But do let me tell you this. If you want to lead in this local New Testament church, you need to convince me that I can trust you to lead right. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. You say, that's not what I want to be. Then you don't need to lead for me. Because I don't need leaders that I can't trust. I'm strict King James Bible. You give me the impression of anything else, your leadership suddenly is cut off. You've got to convince me that you won't do anything else. You say, why? That's not something that I choose. That's not my opinion. That's my conviction. And I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I am just telling you, common sense should tell anybody, if the leader does not trust you, then don't expect to be made a leader. And by the way, if you have been given leadership, it means somehow the leader trusted you. Now, do right. Do right. So Joshua steps up, gets to fill the position that Moses did. Why? Because of his wisdom, his decision-making, his attitude. He wanted to do it God's way. Secondly, he had been leader-trained, and the leader trusted him. Then thirdly, Joshua had the respect of the people. Let me read some more scripture to you. In Deuteronomy 34, verse number 9, part C, it says, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him. That's Joshua. They hearkened unto him. Let me explain. The people respected Joshua. He was a good example. He lived what Moses taught. Joshua had a self-control, and the people respected him. Listen, the people saw that Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. They saw his good attitude. They saw that he listened to Moses, the leader. They saw that Moses, the leader, trusted him, and the people said, we'll hearken unto Joshua. Let me say this. In some instances, if a pastor turned leadership over to some of you, the people wouldn't follow because you don't give the impression to them that you will follow the training and the leadership of the pastor. In other words, behind closed doors, you better give the impression that you'll do right if you're ever given leadership. If you behind closed doors are critical of this church, if you're critical of the pastor, if you're not on board behind closed doors and you let that out, hey, people will know that. They'll cringe if you're given leadership because they're thinking, that guy's a snowballer. That woman's a snowballer. You see, Joshua was leader trained and leader trusted, and the people respected him. The people saw that he was full of the spirit of wisdom. The people knew that Joshua had personally been trained by Moses, and they had a confidence that Joshua was going to do what Moses expected or would have expected him to do. Joshua's true spiritual leadership was recognized by the people, not by Joshua. Some of you say, well, I'm a leader and I know it. You're not the one that has to know it. Everybody else has to know it. God has to know it. Guess what? The leader, the powers that be have to know it. You say, well, I'm a good leader. Well, wonder if nobody else recognizes it. I can't tell you how many people think they're good leaders and they're not. You say, well, I can preach a good sermon. Preaching a good sermon does not make you a good leader. Good leaders have followers who prove they're good leaders. So listen, Joshua, true spiritual qualities, they were recognized by people. So you say, well, what should I do? Let people see you live right. Let people see your loyalties. Let people see you have a good attitude. Let people see you trying to be wise in all your decisions. This great leader named Moses was a powerhouse, and it's no wonder the people wept for 30 days after he passed away. Can you imagine them sitting around mourning and talking? And someone said, I was there the day we went through the Red Sea. Y'all remember when that happened? Whew. But Moses got us through that. You remember when we didn't have any water? And he got water out of a rock. And you remember when he said, well, I'll get us through this wilderness. And he looked up and there was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And Moses had the power of God on him. And they all said, yo, I'll never forget it. What are we going to do? We lost to Moses. Well, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it through this? But God had a young man in training. And that meant God was preparing people for the next level of leadership. And it was this young man by the name of Joshua. And God said, it's going to be Joshua. I'm not sure Joshua was saying, I'm going to be the next. I'm not real sure Joshua felt that way. But Joshua was doing the right thing. And Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom, and he was leader trained and trusted, and the people respected Joshua. When Joshua stepped up, everybody didn't say, oh, no way, no way. They all said, oh, we know Joshua. He's true. He's real. He's not a fake. He's not wishy-washy. He's not half in, half out. He's what we can follow Joshua. Why? Because Joshua had the qualities that the leader had taught were leadership qualities. But let me go on. Number five, Joshua did as God commanded Moses. In Deuteronomy 34, verse number 9, it's the fourth part of the verse, it says about Joshua, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. You know what? Joshua did as the Lord commanded Moses. You know, you would think that verse, you might think, those of you think the Bible ought to be rewritten. It doesn't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. But you would say, well, shouldn't it say, and Joshua did as the Lord commanded Joshua? But that's not what it says. And that's not a miswording. It says, and he did as the Lord had commanded Moses. You say, why? No new orders from headquarters. We weren't changing anything. There wasn't, hey, look, God wasn't looking for this new leader to come on the scene to get everything doctored up after the old idiot Moses had made a mess of it. Say, I've got some ideas that will improve. Your ideas will have to improve within the framework that the pastor has chosen. And you might say, well, you're being a bully. Well, you call it what you want to call it. I call it pastoral leadership. I don't know how long you pastor, but I pastored for a real long time, multiplied thousands of people. I know how to get a church where God wants a church to go. And I'm not trying to be arrogant. I've had some wonderful training. And you know what I did? I did what my Moses taught me. I didn't try to rewrite the book. I didn't try to figure out a new way. I watched it done, and I said, okay, you know what? That works. I think I'll do that. I couldn't tell you how many churches today, they'll get some young leadership in there, and they get to fiddling with the church, and they change everything up. You know what, preacher? The truth of the matter is we preach the same Bible, the same salvation. We preach the same soul winning and the same outreach and trying to do right and living right and living holy. Listen, we don't need to change everything up. So let me explain. Joshua did as God had commanded Moses. If you lead in this church, you'll have to lead with the same beliefs that come forth from this pulpit. You say, but I've got a little different philosophy. Then let me know up front, and you can sit on the sideline while the people that have the right philosophy are used to lead. So I disagree totally. Then find another church. Go find a pastor that agrees with you. By the way, I'm not correcting anything. I don't have any problems. I don't have anybody challenging me. I don't have any. And the best time to say stuff like this is before it happens. Joshua believed like the previous generation. That's why it says, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. I will not change my stance on the King James Bible. I will not change my stance. I am an independent fundamental Baptist. I'm a Baptist by conviction, not by preference. I'm not change how I feel about the difference between men and women. They're to dress different. They're to act different. They're to look different. That's what the Bible teaches. You say, but that is archaic. Then write me down as archaic. I'm for the old time way. I believe the old time religion. And you can't slip in here and change that. You know what? I'll just tell you all. If our church cannot go to the next level without me giving up my standards of separation, then I'm not going to the next level because I'm not giving up those beliefs. You say, well, Pastor, if you give up some of those beliefs, you'd have a few more workers here than there. I'll do without the workers. I will do without the workers before I'll change my belief. And some of you don't know me very well. Some of you know me for a long time. I will not change those beliefs. And it's not because I'm a good man, but I serve a good God. And He has given me orders from headquarters, and they have not changed. And I learned that from the previous generation that learned it from the previous generation. And it's written in a book, and you're not supposed to fiddle with the book. Don't change the instruction book. And so it's still the same. Joshua stayed with the old time religion. That's why it says, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Right now, I could help our church to get to the next level if I had some people in this church that would decide you're going to change your life so you could step up and be used of God. But there are people in here, you won't do it. You're so stuck in the muck and the mire of your sin and your connection to the world, and you don't believe the same. And there are people in here, I know it. You don't believe the way I believe. One of us has got to change. And it'll be a cold day in hell before I'll change what I believe. I've been at this. I got called to preach when I was a 16-year-old boy. I'm still preaching the very same doctrines and the very same standards and the very same separation. God help me. I plan to go out in a ball of fire believing the very same thing. I don't plan to change. It's easier for you to change your membership than for you to get me to change how I believe. And again, I don't know of anybody that's opposing. But I am saying to some of you, if you would step up, we can take our church to another level. But we can't take our church to another level without the proper leadership. And I will not give up the standards. I will not give up the separation. I will not give up our stance for the old-time religion. I will not change my doctrine. I will not hold hands with every Tom, Dick, and Harry that calls themselves religious out there. I'm opposed to probably 95% of the trash that you watch on television and all the wackos out there and all their teaching. I'm opposed to all that. I'm not going to change. You say, well, I feel like I'm kind of stuck. You may be stuck, but I plan to go forward. And you could go too, but Joshua would used because Joshua did as God commanded Moses. Joshua led Moses' way. He did believe that he didn't believe he could improve on the old time religion. Preacher, and I'm talking to Brother Croomsome here. I feel badly for pastors that start works and wanted to have a fundamental church. I can't tell you how many pastors, when it came retirement time, turned their work over to some young man that threw the standards out and brought the contemporary music in, did away with the dress standards, did away with it all. Because he had a better idea. Preacher, I don't have a better idea. Folks, if I ever start changing all those things, I'm wrong. And I am backslidden. It ought not be that way. And boy, Brother Earl, some of you, Brother Pine, you've been around for a while. Churches that used to have standards and convictions and soul winning and fire, they're dead. They're numb. They're basically gone. The average Christian school should take the name Christian off of it and make it a private school. They've got rules and a handbook, but nobody follows them. They're a joke. Listen, Joshua did as God had commanded Moses. And so, Joshua was full of the spirit of wisdom. Joshua's leader trained and trusted. Joshua had the respect of the people. Joshua did as God had commanded Moses. He wasn't trying to improve on Moses' instruction from God. He was trying to increase and just go on and serve God. But not only that, in Joshua chapter 1, verse number 1, it says that Joshua was a loyal servant. Listen to this. In Joshua 1:1 it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister." You know what the word minister means? It means servant. Servant. Notice God promotes a servant, not someone that desired a position. Here's what I think. I think when God looked down and looked at Joshua, can I tell you all what Joshua did? Joshua served Moses. He was the servant of Moses. That's the greatest compliment that's given to Joshua. He's a servant of Moses. Listen, can I explain to everybody here? Leadership's job is to serve. It might be hard for you to interpret a little bit, but even when I stand up here and throw a fit, I'm serving you. You know what I'm supposed to do? There are times when, I don't try to make you mad. There will be times that I'll make you uncomfortable. There will be times you'll be mad at me because I told you the difference between right and wrong. And it's my job to serve you to the point of you not liking me while I'm busy telling you the difference between right and wrong, because right will save your life and wrong will destroy you. And I need to love you more than having you love me by telling you the truth. But leadership's real job is to serve the people. Bus captains, your job is to serve the people. Hey, you say, but what about the rules and all that? Those rules are there to serve the people. You know, those rules are there to keep them safe. Joshua proved he was a servant by serving Moses. Listen, I recommend to people, I would not look for position in the church. I would look to serve. Make yourself so busy serving that God looks down and says, you know what? There's somebody that can be trusted. I don't know when people are position seekers, but that's never really interested me. But let me tell you someone who does. God does. God knows the purity of someone's heart. You say, I want leadership. I want power. I have to be real honest with you. I don't want leadership and I don't want power. I wish I were an assistant pastor again. You say, why? I hate making decisions. I hate it. I wish the buck stopped at somebody else's desk. I think I've got too much gray hair to go backwards, so I'm stuck with, you know, the buck stopping at my desk. But I'm not looking for power. Boy, with power comes great responsibility. But at this point in my life, God has me pastoring a New Testament church. I think that's what I'll do till the day I die. But I've got to tell you this. Service is what it's all about. Sunday school teacher, when you teach that lesson, you're there to serve the people. You're not there to show off your teaching abilities. I know people like preaching, and I like preaching. I love preaching. But this thing of preaching sermons that go down in history, I really don't have any interest in that. I want to preach sermons that go down in the heart, that bring conviction, that change lives. And if every once in a while you have one and everybody says, "Woohoo! That was a bell ringer. I'm glad we rang your bell, but you are a dumbbell and you're not hard to ring." But you'll have to forgive me. I'm really not trying to impress you with Bible knowledge or my ability to speak. I want to change lives. And I found that people that are impressed with their own speaking are usually not the one that change lives. They just impress themselves. We're here to serve, and that's what we're supposed to do. You say, I would like to be in leadership. If you want to be in leadership, get so busy. Hey, here's what I want you to do. Serve a whole bunch of people and become the leader of our church in being a people servant. You say, what would my title be? How about servant? Servant. Real leaders don't have to have a position to be a servant. And so Joshua steps up and Joshua takes the lead in the absence of Moses. He was wise in his decisions. He was trained and trusted by the leadership. The people respected him because that training and that trust and that wisdom. He did what God had commanded Moses to do. He was a servant, and Joshua had a servant's heart. And you know what happened? I love this verse. God blesses Joshua as he did Moses. One last verse, and I'll be done. Joshua 1:3, it says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you." That's God speaking to Joshua. But listen to these next few words. "As I said unto Moses." Here's what's happening. Joshua has now taken over. And God said to Joshua, he said, "You know what? I made some pretty big promises to Moses about promised land and everything. Joshua, everything I promised Moses, it's yours." Whoa, what a blessing. How did Joshua get there? I gave you the process. He got there by following the leadership, being wise, serving, right attitude, not seeking position, but just seeking to serve. Joshua was blessed by God in comparison to how God had blessed Moses. Why? Because he was Moses trained, Moses trusted. He was wise and made good decisions with a good attitude. The people respected him because they seen he was true and he was real. I have to tell y'all something. There is a way in the church for you to be loyal and trusted without offending everyone. Some of you are just cowards. You won't ever be able to lead because whoever you're around, that's how you talk. You know that when you go along with everybody, with everything, they don't trust you either because they know you're wishy-washy. The real leadership in the church says, "I'm going to stick with what the Bible says. I'm going to stick with what's right. I'm going to stick with the God-appointed leadership." Joshua was trusted by those people. He did as God had commanded Moses. He was a servant. And wouldn't it be something if we would all become Joshua's? Joshua's. I think I can make you a promise based on Scripture. I think our church can increase its revival. But there's only one way. We'll have to increase in the qualities of leadership that we're developing and that we possess. Notice, I'm not saying I don't want a whole bunch of position seekers. If you're looking for a position, I wouldn't expect it. You say, "You tell me I can't have it?" Yeah, you can't have it. Is you going to quit? If you're going to quit because you can't have it, then you wanted it for the wrong reason. You say, "I just want to be used. I just want to serve." That's the right attitude. That attitude right there is the right attitude. That attitude, if you're a position seeker, you're bound to be disappointed. You're going to be jealous. You're going to say, "Well, they get to do something I don't get to do." Big baby, grow up. You're a spoiled brat. You say, "Well, I want this or I want that." Won't you? How busy are you just serving people? You get busy that way. Even if the knucklehead pastor doesn't notice you, God will. God will. Next level of our church is going to depend on some people stepping up. Some of you need to take some sin out of your life. You need to take some things out of your life. You say, "Well, I don't just totally understand them." Then get help and let somebody help you to understand them. But we will be in gridlock, and we can't go up unless there's enough growth and leadership to help us go up. And so, tonight, I discuss with you the qualities of leadership of a Joshua and how he grew into the next level of leadership. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If for some reason I've mishandled my leadership role tonight, I would apologize to God for that. I'm not sure that I have. I realize there's some personality that's thrown in on my stance, and if that personality is inappropriate, I don't want it to be. But I will tell you this. People have to grow so they're not just watching the work of God, but they become a part of it. And some of you need to say, in your heart, you need to say, "You know what? I want to help go to that next level." There'll be changes in your life. You'll have to make those changes. And I don't mean just make them while you're on the property. I mean make them on and off the property so God can trust you to lead some portion of God's ministry and God's work. If you're not saved tonight, we welcome you to the Savior. If you are saved tonight, I would say to you, ask God, are you doing what you ought to be doing in the church? Are you as busy as what you could be? And if you're not, and you have a desire to be busier for God, then decide that you're going to grow and that you'll do what it takes to qualify. Because there is a qualifying factor for different levels of leadership in the church. Who here would say, Pastor, God has challenged me and God has spoken to my heart. And I believe that God has put something in my mind and in my heart tonight as a result of this sermon. And I want to work on it. I want to better myself, maybe in a given area. I don't know. But you'll let God see your hand. If you need time at the altar, I wish you'd come. I wish you'd come. Hey, before I give this altar call, let me tell you something. And you listen real carefully. If you're in a position of leadership and you will not behave yourself, I will remove you. I will remove you. Now, I don't smear people all over the church, but I've removed people before. There's somebody in here, if you don't knock it off and straighten out, you're going to get removed and you're going to be very embarrassed. You're going to say, well, who do you think you are? I'm the pastor of the New Testament church. It's my job to make sure people in roles of leadership abide by the expectations that they agreed to when they became a leader. So I've been in this church for years. I don't care if you own this church. You better do right. Now, there's some of you, you need to come to the altar and say, God, I got to get some things straightened out. I'm messing up the trust that was given to me in leadership. There are others, you got to come to the altar and say, Lord, I want to step up. I want to figure this out. I want to step up. I want to do more. I want to serve God. If you want to be a part of a revival in the next generation, I welcome you to become a part of the core of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. And I thank God has unlimited blessing available for us and in the near future, but there got to be some people to step up. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. I want you to stand to your feet, if you will. If you need time at the altar, you come. He had the spirit of wisdom about him. He seen life through the eyes of God. He made wise decisions. He was full of that wisdom, and he did it with a good attitude. He allowed Moses to train him, and Moses trusted him. As a result of that, the people respected Joshua. Why? The people knew that Moses was God's leader, and when Joshua did as he was taught, trained, and led by Moses to do, the people said, we'll follow Joshua. We'll follow Joshua. Joshua did as God commanded Moses, and Joshua was a servant and had a servant's heart. God turns around and blesses Joshua at a same parallel that he had blessed Moses, because Joshua wasn't trying to change God's program. He was trying to become a part of it, a submissive, productive, loyal part of it. Scripture surrounding this story. What powerful scripture. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him. The children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And Joshua, the son of Nun. Wow. God had somebody in training to step up. Thank you, Rachel. If you'll look at me for just a second, I know you think I say some really weird and off-the-wall things, but let me tell you something. Most people who say, I want to lead, I want to lead, I want to lead, I want to lead, be careful, that's a dangerous attitude. You say, well, what should the attitude be? I want to serve, I want to serve, I want to serve, I want to serve. That is a protective attitude. It's a humbling attitude. When you get to the point where I want to lead, I want to lead, I want to lead, I want to lead, I want to be in charge, there's an impurity somewhere in that. I want to serve, I want to serve, I want to serve. There's a purity in that. Keep that attitude. Don't make any responsibility beneath you. Hey, and be willing to step up to whatever level of responsibility God would give you. When I was, and I'm almost done, I promise. I graduated from Bible college, and I'll tell you how silly I was. I went into my pastor's office, Brother Hiles, and I sit down, and he said, "What can I do for you today, Jeff?" I said, "I want to be in the Lord's work, and I don't know if I should pastor. I don't know if I should be an assistant pastor. I don't know if I should be a missionary. I don't know what I should do. I just want somebody to help me find it so I can go do it." He said, "I can't tell you how many come in here and tell me how it's going to be." I said, "I'm not telling you how it's going to be. I'm just telling you what I want to do. I want to serve God." He said, "I'd like to train you." I just come out of Bible college. He said, "I'd like to train you." I thought, "Oh, here we go again, more training. I guess I go back to kindergarten." I have no remorse about that, none. None whatsoever. I let an older, wiser man try to mold me and teach me and groom me. I'm glad that I did. I just wanted to serve.